All right.
I know you're going to be leaving here in a few weeks.
I'd like to call the meeting to order.
I don't know.
John, we're calling the meeting to order. I'm calling the meeting to order. I am getting bossy. That's my job.
You're ordering them to have a meeting.
Yes, ma'am.
It is. 10 o'clock.
Would you like to start the meeting, Roger? Excuse me? Roger? Meeting is being called to order. Thank you. Oh, yeah, we don't have Bart, do we? Would you like to say a prayer?
Heavenly Father, brought us together today. Please give us the wisdom and guidance that we need to work together and to bring this ranch into fruition and make as many people happy as possible in this ranch. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay, so roll call of the board. Scott, would you take a roll call of the board?
Okay. We've got everybody. Where do I go down the line?
Yeah. Right here, you can. Present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm missing two.
Scott Polar, I'm present. Jordison.
So we do have a quorum.
Yeah, we're waiting for Larry.
Okay, so we are doing a Zoom meeting today, but we do not have our conference speaker. So if you are going to be participating in any discussion, you'll need to stand up and project and maybe even come a little closer so that the microphone can pick you up. This is a lousy little microphone that isn't designed for this. But we're gonna try and get through with this. So please, for the Zoom, state your name when you're gonna make a comment about an issue maybe we're voting on. Or at any time during this meeting, if you'll state your name, that'll help us with the transcription of the recording.
Cindy?
Yes.
I need to ask a couple people who've dialed in with phone numbers what their name and lot numbers are. 702-588-0441. You're still muted, so I won't be able to hear you, but you can hit me on the chat if you want to with your name and lot number. Same thing for 702-982-9387. May Woolsey, I know who you are. Mark Smith, need your lot number. Joan, need your last name and your lot number.
So are they going to do that by chat, Vance?
You can do it by chat, or they can unmute and speak, but chat would be easier for all of us.
This is the best I've ever heard this thing. You can actually, yeah.
All right. Scott, did you receive a copy of the minutes last month?
Yeah.
I did speak. Objections or feedback. So. Yeah, did anybody have any comments to make about the minutes?
Yeah, anybody? Last month's meeting? Yes,
we do. We have a motion to approve?
Oh. All right.
Okay. John has made the motion. Kurt has seconded. All in favor, say aye.
All right.
All right. Any opposed? That's fine. It's your section. Okay, Michael, do you have a treasurer's report?
No, nothing beyond what we sent out. Unless getting answers, I'll go over that this month and have a more detailed report next month.
Okay.
Just everybody knows, everybody's kind of transitioning. The board is still in a transition state. And you'll see in this meeting that we're trying to bring more transparency. We did not have an executive meeting. You know, we discussed things, but we're still learning our new.
Yeah, so we're trying to say we're muddling through right now. We'll get better at this. So, Michael, did you have an announcement about the new bookkeeper? Or would you like me to? Okay. We have I don't know if I can say contracted, but we have hired Danielle Clarkson as our bookkeeper. Part of this is an effort to, you know, Jennifer has been completely overwhelmed by the admin, bookkeeper, cabin reservations. She was hired at 10 to 15 hours a week, and it has turned into a full-time job. She said that it is not tenable. Now, this has been going on. We've, as a board, trying to deal with this for several months. The previous board made several decisions about how to handle this. So this isn't something that happened all of a sudden. Jennifer's position is being split up into keeper, one person. Admin is going to be either another person. The cabin reservations and bookkeeper are two separate people. Admin has been assigned to some extent cabin reservationist, and her other duties are brought back into the fold of the board to be managing. So Danielle Clark's hired as bookkeeper. So we just want to make that announcement.
Cindy, we're going to have to do what you asked everybody else to do. Stand up and project.
Project. Okay.
Please.
Okay. Kurt, you have a property management report.
Well, much of the last month was spent running. I was literally in every cabin with the movie people up here. And, yeah, it's been really busy just maintaining everything. We did get a new culvert. Larry and I put in a new culvert yesterday. Larry did aerobics on the backhoe that I did. And, just working on new gas tank in here. We're doing a lot of research. We're getting Starlink on the headquarters, and this will provide access to anybody that world. You can pull in the headquarters, and you can get on. Any cabin will have that, and it's going to be a much last year.
Thank you. So we're going to move on to business. If you look at the top of the board meetings agenda, you might notice that there are some proposed options. I'm going to go back just a little bit and explain why this was done. Each time the board, we get new members on the board, there are jobs, activities, responsibilities that just kind of get shuffled around. And because of things that we've heard from the membership, feedback we've gotten from the membership, things that we've discovered as part of being the board, we know that the key areas that need the most attention are the roads, the infrastructure, including the water and fences, and also the membership does not have a way to become involved as much as they would like to. We get a lot of feedback about, hey, I want to do something, but there's no way to just figure out how to volunteer, what you can do to contribute, and how that will work. So we've proposed that we have, instead of roads just being assigned to whoever puts their hand in the meeting, that we will actually have a position on the board called Director of Roads. So that person is the point person for the roads. And we have, Harris has been recommended for that position among the board members. We also have a Director of Agriculture and Infrastructure. Now, when Kurt is no longer on the board, that will be the person that liaises with the property manager and or caretaker. But since he is already on the board, he doesn't have to liaise with himself. He's just...
I liaise with myself all the time.
So Kurt has been proposed for that position. And then something sort of new, but not really, is we've had for a while volunteerism. And we wanted to expand that. We wanted to give members a way to communicate with the board effectively. Historically, you've been able to, if you know somebody on the board, you can contact them and give them your feedback. Well, we've proposed that Bart be a contact and be the director of membership. And he would be the point person. If you have something you want to communicate to the board, if you have something, and I'm not talking an emergency or that this has to be done right now. I'm talking about something you want to be put on the agenda for next month. You want the board to be considering it. You would contact Bart, and we'll give out his contact information. If you don't already have it, that will be made available to you. And that's a way to get attention of the board, because it's going to be his responsibility to collect that feedback, collect that information, and bring it to the board and make sure that we're paying attention to it.
He'll be bringing often. He'll research it as well. I mean, it's not like he's just going to hear what you have to say and bring it to the board. Bart's going to look at it. He's going to look at how it can be done, address it, and have some ideas for the board recommendation.
And his job is not to filter information out. It's to amplify it to the board. Jeff?
So my question is, for the membership to contact the board.
Yeah.
And the person chooses to or never knows.
No. Okay. So let me go on. If I could, if you are not getting satisfaction, if you don't feel that Bart is hearing you, if you don't feel he's understanding you, if you don't feel that you are getting the attention that the issue deserves, have the option of coming to the president. Okay? And then the president will say, hey, what's going on? And we'll do whatever it is required. But we have had in the past, and I hope everybody can appreciate why this doesn't work. We have had in the past members who aren't happy with an answer they got from a board member, so they go to another board member. And they're not happy with that answer, they go to another board member until they get the answer they want. And that causes a lot of confusion. It causes a lot of upset because the board member feels like they've made a decision. Whether it was legitimately their decision to make or not, they feel like they made a decision and now it's being countermanded by another board member. So this is just kind of a way of cleaning up the communication. It isn't to prevent communication. It's actually to amplify it, to give you a reliable source of contact and not just kind of, well, I've told, no, you told Bart. Bart's bringing it to the board for us to either put on the agenda or, you know, make a decision on or get back to you with more information.
That's actually happening. So you said if we're not getting satisfactory answers,
mm-hmm.
hold them.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Bart.
It'll be brought
up. Okay?
No, I can answer that question.
Okay.
I can answer that question. If something's not brought up at the board meeting that was raised that, hey, we want, I'd like this brought up at the board meeting, and you know that it's not being satisfactorily answered. We're not in a 45 minute. Bottom line, the board. Yes. I'm not
going to be a self. It's just a streamlining. Yeah. The whole board. Not even. Right. And then the interesting
thing is the board is going to be. That's nice.
And there's a question.
Yes,
you can't be
so. Nicholson, not be confused with the other.
Right.
It used to be that each board member was opening the group.
They don't have any.
If you Brown, you would go to your board representative, who would then bring that to the board.
Correct.
So you're eliminating the neighborhoods?
Right. Let me.
Cindy.
Yes, ma'am.
So, I know I'm probably talking over the top of somebody, but this is not working out at all for audio. The only person we can hear is you because you're probably sitting right next to your computer, right?
Right. I turned it to try to capture everybody else. Were you able to embark in that discussion?
Okay, and like for right now, I know you're there, but not getting hardly anything of it. I don't know what else to suggest other than that anybody that's more than 4 feet away, we're simply not going to hear you.
Okay. Do we want to try your computer instead?
I don't know if it's going to be any better. I think that if somebody wants to be heard, they need to stand up, they need to walk up, they need to get to the
microphone. Okay.
So I think you were just asking Brent if his would be better. We won't know until we try.
Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to, if he wants to talk with us, come up to the computer and see if he can make it.
So if you're going to try it, somebody chat me and tell me you're going to try it because nothing is getting through on audio right now.
Okay,
whatever you just did, suddenly it's now working. I don't know if you did anything at all.
Would you run around with my computer?
Yeah. Jennifer's going to run around with my computer. Yeah, okay. Let's do that. Let's have her. Let's have, sorry, Jennifer. Let's try that. Okay. Let's try that. Maybe that works. Okay, I'm going to... Yes.
We're going to try logging on a phone and then pass it around like a talking.
Let's try that, too. We're going to try everything. Okay, so I want to get this back on track.
I had one more thing on this.
Yes, Bart.
There are obviously questions about process. We've come up with these ideas. We don't have all the processes down, right? So as we move into, as we go into these new positions, we can flesh out the process. If people think a process isn't sufficient and isn't working properly, we can always adjust it, you know, because sometimes that's the hardest thing to do is figure out, you know, what is the new process. So I don't think we should let that kind of be too much of a sticking point and take us down a rabbit hole. Let's figure out what the best process is, too.
All right. Thank you, Bart. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we create a position of director of roads to be the point person for roads on the board. Kurt has seconded. Is there any discussion from the membership?
Actually,
so you got to come up here, Jeff.
Okay, so if you create
no, come up. It's directional. Just talking about director of roads.
Okay, roads is in addition to president, vice president, secretary, treasurer.
That's correct.
And any of the others that are chosen.
It's not correct. A position. It's an area of responsibility.
An area of responsibility. Okay. So
when this person is no longer on the board, the new board member that's running. Is that their position?
Well, that's getting too much down the road.
So
who made the allowed in the process? No,
we have to vote on it. You guys have to vote on it.
Right. This is something I checked with Barry on this, and he said this is something the board votes on after getting feedback from the membership. So we'll have discussion here. If somebody brings up a valid point that we agree, okay, well, maybe this isn't a good idea, then we would vote no. So that's the thing right now. If somebody has an objection to having a director of roads, having one person that is board representative that is supposed to be dealing with roads, then we'll discuss that. That will impact our vote. Point of order. Okay.
Cindy.
I don't know. This is Kathy.
I'm just asking, what's the difference of what we've had that in the past where it was the representative of the roads, which was John. So I don't understand why we're voting on it. And I guess I'm a little bit confused. There was a lot of muffle before, so I couldn't hear everything that was being said. So I'm just trying to get up on what I couldn't hear.
Okay, so reorganizing the board a bit is going to put focus on the critical areas that have been lacking and that we have gotten membership feedback that are the most important. And so this will serve to, you know, being on roads isn't one of your responsibilities on the board. It is your main responsibility on the board. Is that clear?
Okay, so what is the difference?
Crystal.
What's the difference of what it was before? That was their director. That was John. We never voted for it. We just kind of voted in the board meeting, and I'm that's what I'm asking, why we're doing that now.
So, okay, so it isn't just – so there used to be a long list of duties and responsibilities that were just assigned to people that were on the board.
Yes.
And because roads are so important, because infrastructure, fences, and water are so important, and because feedback from the membership and involvement in the membership are so important, we're trying to focus those by putting a somebody in charge of that, somebody accountable every month for those items. And then the lesser important items are just responsibilities that are handed out. Correct. Correct. Yeah.
That's exactly
okay. So yeah. So we're making them, he's going to be a director of roads as opposed to just being a board member who is handling roads. Yeah.
Right.
Can I add to that? May I add to that? This is Bart.
That the benefit that we see this provides, if you've got a committee of people trying to figure out how to repair all the culverts up here on the ranch, you know, oftentimes things will get lost and things will get prioritized, right? So if you have one person over that, they're tracking all the work and they can help prioritize effort and make sure our limited dollars go to the are programmed properly throughout the year. And we understand, hey, we can't, if something isn't an emergency, can we defer it to next year? The example would be the water system. There's a million things we need to do on the water system. What can we do? And if you go to every other individual on the board to try to get a, you know, decision on something, you'll probably get five different decisions. Right? And so you get that one person who's focused on that issue, and then by being focused on that issue, they should, hopefully we will be able to provide a better service to the whole ranch.
Thank you.
Well, Kate Hoff, Lot 83, the only concern I have is I think you need to have a distinction here because we're talking about three scenarios. We've got board members, board which were elected officials, officers, the way that I read the CCNRs, and you can check it out later, but the officers, the only board member that's officially tied to that is the president. The rest of the officers don't have to be a board member, and right now you guys are kind of saying board members – need to fill these officer positions, but officers are distinct and separate from the board members. So you've got two levels there, kind of a check and balance for that. And then you have your employees or contractors or whatever. So you've got three levels. So I just want to make sure that we're aware a board member is elected, officers are appointed by the board, and then you got employees and things along those lines. So just as we're considering this, you've got those three distinctions, and they all provide checks and balances for each other within an organization like that.
Thank you, Kate. That was very good explanation.
Okay. So is there any other discussion of the motion on the table to approve having a director of roads? Is there any other objection? Members, all in favor?
Right.
Any opposed? Motion is passed. Now I'm going to propose a motion on the Director of Agriculture and Infrastructure. The situation is the same. This is water, fences, assets, basically the physical assets of the ranch, that there's a person that is tasked with paying attention to those and making sure that they are being maintained and improved. So is there a second for... Pardon? Yeah, that would also be equipment. Although that some of those things can be farmed out by that person or...
Oh.
If there's somebody more qualified, for example, Kurt has been proposed to be doing the Director of Agriculture and Infrastructure. However, Bart Batista's knowledge and expertise in water systems is far greater, so that is going to be assigned to Bart. It's still Kurt's responsibility to see that it's done, but Bart will be his point man for that. So, again, there's a motion on the table to have a Director of Agriculture and Infrastructure as a position on the board. Thank you, Michael. All in favor? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Is there any other discussion from the membership?
Just be careful. It's not a position on the board. It's an officer position. Board and the officer.
Okay.
I'd be really careful.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that. Cindy,
he was just reiterating the point. He was reiterating the point. Cade was reiterating the point that it is an officer position. It's not necessarily a board position. Any other discussion? All right, board members, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Third one is the director of membership, and I know we're going to need some discussion on this one. So we'll just go ahead and do some discussion now. There are a number of things that the membership is involved in, wants to be involved in, and we don't have avenues for that. And establishing a director of membership gives us somebody who is responsible to see that member volunteers, contractors, people that want to help, whether they're being paid or not, have a connection to the board. When we have committees of members, the director of membership will be their point person for the committee to give them information to the board. So I think Jeff Mickelson had brought up the question of neighborhoods. And I personally never saw the neighborhood, you know, board member with the responsibility for neighborhood. I never saw that system working. And maybe it worked well before my time. And if so, maybe somebody can provide us some historical information to make it work well again. So what we would like to do, and this will be we'll be taking a vote on this shortly after we take a vote on the director membership position, that we have neighborhood representatives that are determined, decided upon by the neighborhoods themselves. The neighborhood decides who they want speaking for them. That doesn't mean that members can't also go to BART. It just means that when a neighborhood representative comes to the board, it carries the weight of the neighborhood. So that's a program we would like to institute and develop with a lot of feedback from the members. A lot of feedback about how that person is chosen and what their responsibilities will be and how it'll work. But the director of membership would be, again, the point of contact for those neighborhood representatives. Any questions about that? That's, again, that's a program that's not developed yet. We will be voting on it in the future. But I just wanted you to be aware that that is something else that the director of membership is going to be doing. So that will capture the neighborhood issue and bring it into kind of trying to wrap our arms around the membership, and this is one way to do it. Yes, John.
Yes, sir. So far up to now, that requires membership to make contacts with that person. Personally, I've had my responsibility, and I've never received one call on it. And I don't, what I think that is people didn't understand that. They didn't understand it. They didn't do it, and nothing happens.
what we're proposing in this is creating another layer of the membership to decide who they want as their neighborhood representative as opposed to a board member. And that person can be the conduit to BART with issues that everybody's in unison on. Yeah. And then also, though, if one individual has an idea or something and for whatever reason, they can come directly to BART.
I would wear shorts and a shirt.
Well, that's an idea. Everybody, each area, and Larry brought up a while back how many areas there really that nobody knows about. So we got to, make sure we're all aware of what the areas are.
Okay. All right. We're excited to see you. Okay. The whole membership, not just the people that show up. People don't. Notification so that you.
And then you have to. What's the neighborhood?
You got to figure out how you're going to do it.
Right, and again, this isn't something we're voting on right now. This is, I'm communicating to you part of the responsibility future for the director of the membership. So that program, we would want a lot of member feedback. So there would be information going out to the membership. We would be asking for feedback to be coming back into the board before we organize any of it. So we don't want the board saying, oh, you know, we like Kathy, so we're going to make Kathy the representative for your neighborhood. Is it Broad Hollow? Yeah. We don't want any of that. We want the membership feeling like they're heard. So together, that neighborhood would sort out who do they want representing them to the board. Who do they want to be their voice?
And there have to be, I don't know anything, I'm just putting it out there for everybody to think on. There has to be in a way that, you know, when the area person is selected, let's say Broad Hollow gets together and elects Tina as a representative, then the vote count comes to the board, and there has to be some kind of a connection where the board accepts that decision. Does that make sense? So.
Yeah. And not to be confused with the others yet. The neighborhoods were assigned, done geographically, so there are lots in each neighborhood. It's not like a random, like in Side Canyon. There's actually a number of neighborhoods, not just one. So the lots were put in and maps were made showing those neighborhoods. So those are available. I have copies of them. Vance has copies of them. If you need them as a board, they are available.
That would be a great reason for putting together the program. Can you please?
Hey. No, Sean and Tina are coming down today.
Sean and Tina are coming today?
Yeah, but they're going to go home.
Okay.
No.
Can you move some chairs so you can get up here? You want me to, I can pair it? Thank you, Bart. I'll turn it here. Candy Bose, in order to make the board and Deer Springs Ranch effective, people are going to have to communicate, and that's what you're saying now. I believe one of our good, effective ways is a newsletter. And unfortunately, the newsletters have not been that instructive. So, with all this information, who's in charge of a newsletter? I think that's important here, too. As you describe what is happening, I look at the paper, but it doesn't tell me enough. Who's going to do infrastructure? Well, what do you mean by that exactly? There's a wide category of areas that you include. If you say membership, what are we talking about? Who do we contact? Neighborhood person and then BART? This needs to be described in a manner that a general person could understand. If at that point people say, well, I didn't get it, I don't know it. The board has gone above and beyond what we've done at the board meetings here. Because for many people, they can't make it here. And Zoom is not the best concept of how to communicate, because when you're in your home, you're listening to Zoom, it doesn't come across 100%. You can't understand half of what people are saying. So my suggestion in all of this is to make sure our newsletter is effective. This is the way you're going to communicate with the people, not just hit or miss, vague. It needs to be more defined.
take what you're doing today, define it as the board, who's working what, communicate, and make sure through a newsletter or another source, like Tina was saying, that they understand what it is so that they can be involved. So that was my only suggestion along with what Tina had said.
Cindy. I can't tell if anybody's talking. Cindy, are you there?
Sorry, we're trying to bring people up to the computer and
okay,
moving
well,
along. So Candy, I'm going to reiterate, Candy has basically suggested that we use the newsletter as a way of communicating with the rest of the membership outside of the board meetings, because sometimes you can't hear everything that happens in a board meeting, especially on Zoom. And that it's something we used to use and could use to great effect to accomplish some of the things that we're trying to do with this board. And then Tina basically seconded her and thanked her for a good idea.
I have a question for everybody who's been here longer than me. When I first got here and started getting involved, I was told we only do 2 newsletters a year because we don't want to flood people with newsletters. And I've always been kind of, we should have more frequent communication on that. And what do you all think? I mean, how often should a news, should it be a quarterly newsletter?
Okay, point of order. Sorry, point of order. That's not on the agenda yet. That's not on the agenda yet.
I'm sorry. I'm just.
What we will do is I will have Scott take a note that we include it in our next meeting.
Okay.
That we develop the newsletter, decide how often it's going to come out, and get that program running. Okay. Does that cover it?
That covers it.
Good. So get back on track. Tina, okay. Did you have a comment?
I just said again. Okay. I'm going again.
She's seconding everything. Okay, so there is a motion on the table to create the director of membership officer position. Is there a second?
Cindy?
Okay. Yes.
This is Kathy. I did want to make a comment before is I feel like there's getting more of an arm's length of communication with the board. If I have a question on a particular item, I don't feel like I would need to go through Bart, to go through somebody else, to go through somebody else. As a member, I feel like we should be open to discuss things with the board.
Well, of course.
And so that's my question is, are you making this so you cannot talk to any of the board members other than Bart? Because I'm totally against that.
No. So I'm sorry. There was apparently the audio didn't come through earlier, or maybe for whatever reason you didn't hear an earlier discussion where we were saying that Bart is not a filter. He is not there to filter out things coming to the board. He is there as an amplifier. He is there as a convenient point of contact, get to know Bart so you can talk to him. It doesn't preclude you from asking questions of other board members. It's just the official channel. If you want something to show up on an agenda, if you want the board discussing something or bringing something to a vote, you would take that to Bart or you would take that to your neighborhood representative. We're laying down a road to travel on, to communicate with the board. We are not putting up roadblocks. So, for example, if you had a question about a road, you could certainly ask John. The idea is not to say you can't talk to anybody else. It's to say you have a representative on the board. As a member of the ranch, you have a communication conduit.
Thank you.
answer.
Okay. Is there any other discussion?
Maybe not the director of membership. All in favor of creating a director of membership position, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, so more new business. We need to talk about the cabins. I know. We talk about the cabins a lot. We had kind of a, I think of it as kind of a crash, a butting up against of the water system and the cabins in the wintertime. In order to maintain safe drinking water and stay within the regulations, and not cost a fortune every year, we have decided that the cabins will be closed on a schedule for the winter. Once those cabins are closed, they will not be reopened until the spring. No more dewinterizing for one weekend and then rewinterizing, because it affects the entire water system. It causes us to fail tests. It really puts a huge burden on our water system, and it has put us at risk this year of some really nasty results, some nasty new requirements, which we want to avoid, and as a board, it has really become clear to us that closing those cabins prevents a lot of expense and extra work and limits our risks of getting in trouble with the Department of Health. Was that, do you have anything to add to that, Bart?
Factors, not just the water system, but for the water system, you know, we have it's a transient system. When you shut it off and you have to winterize it, when you dewinterize it, you're required to do testing, you're required to do flushing. All of this costs a lot of money, which we don't charge when it's rented out. And so we as an organization eat that cost. Secondly, it exposes us to, and we had, positive coliform test results. If we get too many positive coliform test results, there may be a requirement for us to disinfect our system. So now we're talking about even all the time, not just batch chlorination where you disinfect it because, hey, we got a hit. And so that would be another expense and an ongoing operating expense for that system, having a chlorination system in place. So, and then that exposes us to more regulatory risk, and it's just not a good thing.
Winter was an experiment that we found out. We messed around and we found out. So the schedule for cabin closures, Kurt, you know this better than I do.
Well, we closed the other cabin.
I can't hear him.
October 15th is the official closing for the upper cabins. What's that? I know that's a problem. We've kind of edged it, so today's the 15th, so we're going to close on Monday. That's when everybody checks out. And then somebody got an extra day on a cabin, and we need to be very specific that it's the 15th, that Saturday or Sunday after. We can have a discussion about that. But 6, 9, and 10 also need to close because those three cabins have no insulation underneath them and are a risk of freezing.
Will those also be closing October 15th?
Those will also be closing October 15th and 6, 9, and 10. And then 7, 8, and Garden Cabin are open until Thanksgiving.
in the comfort station.
Whenever Thanksgiving falls, it would be the...
Yeah, we always have reservations down here on those till Thanksgiving, so...
That's because there's no insulation.
Lower elevation, the three
I'm
that...
I'm talking about 6, 9, and 10.
They have no... They have no insulation under them currently. It would be a goal to put insulation and insulate the pipes so they can stay open with the rest of them until November. But for now, we don't have that.
Just to make it clear, I can't tell you how many years ago, but the board decided if the upper lower cabins, 7 and 8, were open and garden cabin, whoever made the reservation would pay an extra $100 to accommodate a number of the problems that you're saying that we have to pay for. Now, whether or not that has occurred, I'm not sure. But there was a charge.
You are correct.
And those that have stayed have paid that de-winterization or winterization fee. The reality is it's more like $1,000. And should we get a hit and we have to chlorinate, that's going to be a $50,000 hit. And so I don't know how many of you are on board for that.
No, we wanted it closed for specific reasons. But I just want to make it clear that there were to have been some compensation for the ranch.
It has happened.
Yeah, Bart stated that, and he just wasn't aware that we did have that $100 dewinterization.
The time of year. This is what's happened last year or the year before. They dewinterize it at an expense of time and money, and then because of weather-related road issues, the people can't get in, so they winterize it, and then they dewinterize it, and then people don't show, and then they do show. Good intentions all around.
Yeah.
But and this is not from now to eternity. As we prepare these cabins to withstand winter temperatures better, next year we may say, okay, 6, 9, and 10 now can stay open until Thanksgiving.
Okay,
the following year, who knows? We're going to – it's different. But right now, this is what we're doing.
There's another aspect that people don't think about. It's just the housekeeping side of it. If wintertime, a lot of time is muddy. And the floors are trash. You got to drive to town to do the laundry. There's a lot of time and expense involved in it. And in my experience with 3 winters behind me, there have been more cancellations than people have actually showed up. In fact, my first year we didn't have anybody. We had reservations, but the only person that showed up was, I can't remember the name right now, but okay. One showed up. That was it.
I reserved the last Christmas. And then
yeah.
Okay, so do I have a motion to close the cabins on the Sunday after October 15th, close the upper 6, 9, and 10, and close 7, garden and comfort station on the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Okay. Cindy?
So it was...
Cindy, yes? Is there a way to keep those 3 cabins opened if the weather permits? That just brings more revenue in.
The issue, Kathy, is the water is not being used, and we fail tests. And so the conflict for the board and for the membership is, do we offer the cabins with unsafe water and then have to test the unsafe water, fail test, go through level 2, and then we're back to chlorination? If the water's just sitting there, it will get colorful.
But I think the question
it's not about bringing them back online. Maybe. It's just leaving them on if we know the weather's good. But the problem is,
right,
we don't always You can't predict the weather. If we make a decision today, oh, let's leave it open another week, are we going to get a reservation for another week? I mean, you need to have that kind of in advance.
All right. Is there any other discussion?
I did hear you could cancel the reservation. Which
difficult if they had a reservation to be able to.
Yeah.
If the weather changed, what do you do?
Yeah.
Better just to be upfront with everybody and say don't do it.
Okay. So. Yes. Sorry. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. So the next cabin-related discussion is that we have members that are capable and interested in doing cabin renovations, in contributing their time, their effort, their energy, their creativity, and we would like to encourage that. We have members that have proven their abilities in constructing and renovating, and we want to, again, encourage that. So we would like to create I skipped one. I'm kind of going out of order, but I'm gonna keep going. We'd like to create a program or have members available invited to to do those cabin renovations. They would be getting some level of compensation. And we as a board would want to make that compensation be worth their time. So I'm trying to figure out. So basically what you're doing
is creating an offering and opening up a request for interest parties.
Correct me if I'm wrong. There's already people that are interested in doing those renovations.
We've identified.
We've identified two different parties to do renovations on these two different cabins. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So it's. I think we need to be clear that
cabins. We haven't stated the cabins.
We haven't stated the cabins, but we have known individuals who have expressed interest. And we think it's a good thing to do. It's a good use of our resources to get those up to speed with those members' help. And they'd be paid for that time and material. That's what we're saying.
Right.
It's not we're going to put out an RFP and have, every member submit their competitive bids. We have two people identified two owners identified already. Who have requested to do the work, and we think it's a good idea, and that's what we're proposing to do.
Also on that, I mean, the cabins are this year 9 and 10, and we have the parties that are interested in it are both very capable of doing the work, and these two projects have already been approved by the membership or by the board last year, but what I'm asking for is a raise of $4,000 per cabin. Oh, okay. Well,
sorry.
Yep. See it on here.
The thing is, if the projects were already approved, the real ask is for more money, correct?
That's
So the issue is that the property manager among his other 50 million responsibilities, because I've read that contract and it's kind of crazy. In addition to that, he had cabin renovations as a responsibility. And we would like to take that and move it out to the membership to, involve more people in the membership and B, allow him to spend his time on the fences and the headquarters and the other things that he needs to do that we've also identified are important. So what the motion is, go ahead and state it, is that we allow cabin renovations to be done by members. We move that option to include members. Come on up, Kevin.
Kevin Poole, 64. And I have to admit, because when you open up this door, it's only cabins, and we all agree, needs to be done. Know it's on the agenda. Know it's been on there. But without a bid system, you're going to pick and choose who's going to do what. How? Where does this rabbit hole end is the question. Do we draw the line with Larry doing roads? I mean, where does this start and where does it stop?
I'd like you to clarify your complaint or your question.
Okay, we have qualified members to do tons of stuff out here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tons of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have Joe. Joe's a fabulous welder, fabricator, mechanic, fully capable of doing all of that. Do we appoint Joe the ranch welder, fabricator, mechanic? I'm a mechanic. I fabricate and I weld. Would I get upset because we've appointed Joe? I mean, where does this start and where does it stop? You're creating a situation where you're picking and choosing from membership who are fully capable of doing certain jobs to do certain things for the ranch without opening any up to the opportunity of other members on the ranch who might have an interest in doing it.
Okay, let me clarify.
We're attempting to get more work done by more people. Are other people interested? Who's interested? That's a starting point.
Right.
I agree there are qualified members. Are there qualified members who have available time?
Okay, so I want to. I this kind of got derailed, I think, by a mistake, and that is we are.
Larry, can you hear me?
We are not going to. We can, but you're talking over me. Can you wait a moment?
Oh, I couldn't hear you. Sorry, Cindy.
Okay. We are not going to open it up for the general population. We are not going to do RFP for, you know, we're not looking for somebody who lives in Kanab and has no lot here to be doing the work. We are planning to open it up to the membership. Are there qualified people that would like to do this? So it is open to anybody in membership. It isn't that we've picked people. We've had people come to us and say, hey, we would like to do this. So we already have identified two. We've also been told of a third that might be interested. So before anything happens, we would notify the membership. We would allow people to say, hey, I would like to do this to the cabin.
So
go ahead, Bart.
I mean, I think the RFP process is a better way to do it. I agree. But we have to put a timeline on it. If we put out an RFP, we have to put a scope of work out. We have to give a timeline to respond, and there's going to have to be some qualifications required. So I don't want, you know, if somebody says I can do the work, but it takes them a year to get the work done, that's not worth it. So in their submittal, I think this is a better way to do it, and we put a cap on, we say we have this much money set aside for that work, and we put out an RFP, need a response in a certain amount of time. I think that's the right way to do it.
Cindy. Sandy.
Sorry, hang on, Dan.
What we're hearing is we've already made the decision we want to go in this direction. We're looking for a motion and a second. We're going to take a vote to do this right now. That's what I heard. Now, I may be wrong, but that's back to what I said earlier. We vote on it, and then we have discussion. Thank you.
Sandy.
Yes, go ahead, Dan.
Okay. Somewhere in our past, and we'd have to look it up, somebody will have to do it, we have a requirement, Larry, you probably remember, that any work done at the ranch has to be by licensed, bonded, insured contractors. Are you going to do away with that?
Can I respond,
Larry?
Legal question, because under Doppel's rules for contractors, you know, we are not a maintenance can be self-performed by an organization, right?
But new work, renovations, things like that are required to be done by a licensed general contractor under DOPL rules. Now, as an organization, if we choose not to do that, we expose ourselves to, again, risk, right? So what is the thing we want to do? I think that we probably should have, would I say, we put out an RFP, you get qualified applications back, and they have to say what their qualifications are. I do think that we don't want unqualified people doing work on the cabins and messing them up. Now, you all need to understand those, the dollar figure that we proposed, if it's not, if we don't self-perform the work, and instead we require a licensed general contractor to do this work, which is required under Division of Professional Licensing's rules, we're going to probably have an increase in cost. And you need to understand that.
Okay. This is Karen Fry. I have had my hand up. I just wanted to make a comment. I believe that anything that the association is paying for the work provided should be bid out to, it should be posted and bid out so that, now my understanding is there's supposed to be three bids. And if that's the case, then, I mean, the only way people are going to know about it, and if the board picks people and other people don't know about it, that's not really, I don't think that's really fair. Anything that's being paid by the association should be posted, and there should be at least three bids on that particular job, whether it be the cabins, the roads, the whatever it is, the water. It shouldn't be picked by the board members.
Cindy, that's what I was trying to tell you, is 2 years ago, we did discuss this and vote on it, and it was approved unanimously that any of these items would be put out for bid for people. And that included administration, that included anything that was a paid position.
Also, I think there was a dollar amount involved. If it was below a certain amount, you wouldn't have to do that.
Correct. That's correct.
So, somebody needs to start going through the minutes and find some stuff from the past.
What's that dollar amount?
I don't know.
We've been renovating two cabins. How long have they been offline? The two we just finished renovating, how long were they offline?
Okay.
Closed for over a year.
Can we move the discussion forward?
It was answering Michael's question.
Yeah, no, okay. Yeah. My point is,
we've lost the revenue because it was done as volunteer or mostly volunteer labor. So you lose the revenue for a year because you want to be volunteering it out and getting as cheap as possible. And you're going to lose the revenue. I don't understand why there's an objection to just getting it done.
The objection is that people would like to see a transparent RFP process. That's it.
Because
any issue with that, and we might have to backtrack because not everybody heard all of the discussion. This will be made available to all members because the amount has already been decided on how much is available for the renovation. We're not looking for somebody to put together a financial bid except to look at the money that's available and can they do the renovations? What renovations can they do with that amount of money? That's
this is the job to be done. These are the dollars available. If you're interested,
that is the proposal.
Go away.
That is the proposal. Do you want to come around? My computer's getting.
Cindy, will they put actually all items that are to be done for that renovation with that dollar amount so they know exactly what they're doing?
Yes.
Okay.
And a schedule.
The issue of taking bids from contractors is you have a time limit, which is winter. Have to be able, those people.
What contractors are you referring to? Members?
It's already been said that whoever works on the cabins has to be licensed contractor.
Well, I think so the point is completely valid, but that comes to the schedule. When they submit the proposal for the work, they're going to say when they get it done. And when we review that, the proposals, that could be a disqualifier. We're not going to be able to start till next summer. That could be a disqualifier. Somebody who could start immediately, that may put them to the top of the queue, or as we rock and stack. So again, that's just a qualification. So I wouldn't, understand completely. If we have a goal and we could put that in the RFP, the time frame that we would like these done in.
Done. Winter months. Right. So outside contractors, being members, have to be able to get here to work on the cabin in a time.
Yeah.
This is the amount that we have to renovate these two cabins. So many dollars is for material, and so many dollars is for labor. It's not an open bid process of, can you do it cheaper? This is the money available. Do you want to do it?
No, I know.
But I wanted to make that clear that this isn't
bidding out
for the cheapest amount. Yes.
Have too many people.
The volunteer cabins renovations would have been done much faster if there were that many people knocking down the door.
You guys haven't offered money before. I mean, this is the first time you're offering to pay. I mean, granted, it's not much, but you're offering to pay to do it, right?
Not a single contractor in the world that's going to step up and say, sign me up. I got nothing else to do.
I'm going to drive it. Well, we've got actually 57, and it's just what we can afford to do, and it doesn't to people. Kind of the idea.
Can't hear you.
It's
<Yes.
laughs> there are more cabins to be done. We can't afford to do more. And so it doesn't have to be the same people. So there can be different people that are into the fold of what's going on at the ranch, and we have more involvement and we have more discussion, and it makes it a better place, more understanding and less gossip going around.
Okay. I didn't hear any of that conversation, so I don't know where that was, where you guys were on that. Could you reiterate, Cindy, please?
Okay.
I think Kurt's point was simply that this is a way to bring more members, to get more members involved in the upkeep and the improvement of the ranch. It's a way to involve more members. Did I capture that? Okay, and now John.
Yeah, I'm going to speak really loud.
Thank you.
Are we going to make sure that these people have done something? I've done carpet work on my house. I'm not a carpenter.
But I'm not interested in working.
Yeah, I know. But it was, but you see, it was cheap. And yeah. I don't like that cheap. I found that cheap is often more expensive.
Okay. Yeah. So what? I'm sorry.
That's why you guys have heard me say that I want to, on a road, for instance, I only want to use qualified people to do it. I've had people to mess it up. They did a lot of work and they worked hard and they thought they were doing well.
Okay.
But
the end of the meeting is fine, so we want to keep it going.
This
what
is Sally.
It is something that we will be.
This is Sally. I don't know if you can hear me. I don't have an agenda in front of me, but I'm wondering, is there a next issue?
Well, we're still on this issue. There's a question on the table. It hasn't been a motion yet, but I want to address John's concern. Yes, absolutely. We want to make sure that these cabins are renovated safe, you know, so that they're safe, so that they look good, they serve their purpose, they can, you know, survive the winter. All that stuff will be taken into consideration. What we're trying to get past right now is just the simple first step of, instead of the property manager being required to do all of the renovations, that we open it up to the membership and allow a program to be developed, which will include how we do proposals, how we schedule, how we qualify people, that allows the membership to be doing renovations. That's what we're discussing.
So should it really be,
all right,
we're authorizing the property manager to basically contract out, essentially is what we're saying. So we're authorizing, that should be really the motion then. We're authorizing the property manager to contract out.
Two members.
I would say two qualified individuals with a preference to members, cabin renovations.
That sounds like a motion to me.
So the discussion of what we've been talking about is no longer.
You can contract all that stuff.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Wow.
Cabins, for instance, take too damn long because we're doing it less expensive by using volunteers. As he just said, we're losing revenue when they last that long. Is it cheaper?
Well, Tina made the point that the cabin comes during the winter times and they're full. Yeah. And if it's not just one person, then their support. I mean, if we are wherever I can. Go ahead, John.
We can't hear.
So, Bart, I'm going to have you state the motion as you just did, and we'll see if we have consensus.
Well, I think the question is that we're already authorized to do that. If it is, we don't need to vote on it, and it's more about, are we voting to approve the increase in dollar amount.
That's what.
Which what was voting. What are we doing? Because we're talking around already.
Yes.
Cindy, it's Vance. Put me in line when you get a break.
Go ahead. We've got a break.
Okay. I don't know if you're guys. I don't know if anybody's following the chat up there, but we have two people now that basically are saying the same thing. This is too important to be being discussed over our crappy connection today and acted upon. I suggest, because this one issue could take up an entire meeting, that you put it off and have an all Zoom meeting sometime on a weeknight or whatever, when all of us who want to hear and participate can.
Yes. Okay. So let me clarify for the people on Zoom, and let me know if, you know, let Vance know if you cannot hear this. The clarification is, it is already in the property manager contract that he can subcontract work. It's already there. We don't have to vote on whether or not he can do that. So if we structure the program such that he is the one in charge, he is the one overseeing the work that's being done, that is already been decided long ago. It's already in place. So
more labor.
Okay, so the motion that is now on the table is to increase the labor, to increase the amount dedicated to labor from $2,000, from $2,500 to $6,500.
Oh, that's
and that's to increase interest on the part of the members who are qualified. So that's the motion on the table, is to increase the labor amount that we will pay for somebody to do cabin renovations at the $20,000. It's with the $20,000.
It was $32,000 for both cabins. I'm asking for $40 now.
And that we split 20 and 20. So that's the motion on the table. Do we have a second? Okay. Is there any other discussion about that specific? Okay.
On the volunteer situation here, how are you going to hold people accountable? Okay, on using membership as contractors. How do you plan on holding them accountable if they are late on it? On a contractor, if you have a contract with somebody, you can. So many dollar a day for being late.
On completion.
Yeah, I think we had a discussion.
It's very simple. I mean, and I would be overseeing, and I would be making sure things stay on track, and I would be assisting in getting materials for the ranch. So we're buying for both cabins instead of for one cabin at a time, and I would be managing it. I'm just contracting out to other members of the ranch to do the work.
So the accountability would be on Kurt.
Exactly.
Tina, did you have a question?
Just clarification.
Are you seconding again? Awesome. Okay.
Back to the original thing about requiring contracted and bonded people, right? If this work is just what would be categorized as maintenance, you don't need to be a licensed contractor, but you still would maybe want a handyman to do the work who is licensed, who is bonded, or has some sort of insurance. I think that's what it sounds like the original or the previous requirements were, right?
If
we're going to put a contract out, they have to have insurance, essentially. Whoever bids on that contract. No, but if they're going to be qualified, like I have my own professional liability insurance.
The company does.
No, I have my own for my own personal LLC because I work at Best Friends, We have professional there. I have to do my own work on the side. I have my own professional liability insurance for that work.
I don't think the homeowners are going to do that.
What's up, Bubba?
So do we do it? That would be another issue that we'd have to address.
Qualifier.
Yeah, the qualifier, disqualifier.
Don't have a right.
Do you have a...
Can't hear.
How are you going to hold me responsible? Because
I'm going to be holding them responsible.
I'm going to be hiring them. We do a contract with them, and we do it in phases. We pay out in phases.
We've hired a property manager.
Hello.
Okay. My comment is that I'm kind of tired of the dancing around. So I am one of the people who has said I would do it. I will tell you flat out, I am not going to get licensed, bonded, and insured to do a cabin here. It's not going to happen because it's too costly. So my overhead is going to go through the roof, bills I got to pay, to make a couple of dollars out here because I'm not planning on starting my construction business back up again. That's what I left in California. I'm out here to enjoy myself, my retirement, do a few things to make a couple bucks, and that's it. So if that's the requirement, then I'm going to bow out.
And you guys
don't do that yet. We have a
Jeff.
Go for it.
I've watched Tina and Jeff do their work, and they perform. My point is if we have people out here that don't perform, or don't perform well that have done volunteer work and what have you, and it's taken so long. I'm not against using people. I just want to know how we're going to prepare.
As a member of the board, you'll have input to say, hey, this person wants to do the work, but I have personal experience that they are not timely. They don't come out to the ranch often enough or whatever. You will have a chance to make an objection if somebody who isn't qualified or can't meet our requirements puts in a bid in. Does that help? It's not
I've seen too much shoddy crap.
Okay. Is that behind me?
Yeah, 764 again. Let me see if I can just get this wrapped up for you guys. There's actually two things on the table right now. One is the ranch is hiring contractors to work in cabins, and the other one is we already have a company, Jacob, I don't know the name of it, Jacobson, whatever, who has already been contracted to do this. Okay. If Jacobson is going to hire Tina and Jeff, I have no objection whatsoever to that process, because that is his already voted on, agreed upon prerogative to do so. Do we going to up the budget?
Yes.
Which I also Brain has paid absolutely astronomical amounts of increases at the grocery store, the gas pump, and everywhere else we go. We cannot realistically expect to do the same job today in its prices as we could 2 years ago.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
A motion, a second, and a vote as to whether we're going to give Jacobson Enterprises
Thank you. That's a motion.
Make the motion to increase the cabin renovation budget by $8,000. I make the motion to increase the cabin budget renovation budget by $8,000.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on strictly the point of increasing the budget to $40,000 for the two cabins? That was current year? That's the current year.
Budget. Now the increase in the cabin, because of the time of year that we close the cabin and the time it takes to do the cabin, and I'm done by spring, and the budget are going to have to roll over to 2023. And I just
get down in a month.
The goal is to get them done by spring. I like that attitude.
Come on, Tina!
Well, the problem is Peter does all the work and he does all the talking.
All right. So there is, it has been moved and seconded that we increase the budget for cabin 9 and 10 renovations from $32,000 to $40,000 to cover additional labor costs. That additional money will go strictly to labor. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh, thank goodness. The motion carries. Okay. So I'm hesitant to bring up. I'm going to bring up one more thing. Hopefully it's quick. If it's not, then we'll table it and we'll do it next meeting. We, at one time, I understand we had an cabin adoption program. And I think, I don't know what other cabins were adopted and what happened in the past, because I've only been around for 4 or 5 years. But I can say that Candy and Joe Bose have done a stellar job of adopting cabins and taking care of them, whether it was their board responsibility or not. A lot of the beauty of the cabins that we have and the comfort of the cabins that we have is due to their volunteer efforts.
And yeah.
We would volunteer efforts, right?
And I'll tell you, and Joe, Jim came down, and Joe and I did a little poll. Bob Hedman, Jeff and Tina, and Brian, you know, all came together. They were trying to tell us the day was being rented out. We were cleaning up the mess, and I had an old people on it. Wait a minute, we didn't finish it. So I came down to the ranch house and took all my pictures and artwork and a couch up there in a bag to get it open. But on the other hand,
you know, that was
thing.
And gave us a very valuable hand in helping get that finished up. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of credit to go around on those volunteering, and we don't want to.
Well, and we don't want Joe and Candy to have to be responsible for every single cabin. So we would like to create a cabin adoption program, bring back the cabin adoption program in whatever form is appropriate these days. And it will include a small budget for decorating and improving the comfort of the cabins. And if this is something that just everybody wants, let's just breeze through it. If somebody has an objection, let's raise that briefly. What?
If we're already doing this, we just don't have as much engagement as we'd like.
Okay.
Right? So it's kind of dormant.
Yeah, we haven't really been doing it.
Really, this so to me, this doesn't need a motion to stimulate it. It just needs probably identification in the newsletter asking for people, hey, exactly. We're looking for people to adopt. Kurt already has a budget to maintain the cabins, which should include decoration, I'd imagine. So we don't need additional money. So do we even need to make a motion? We just need to.
Bart, you're hired.
We just need to get this out in a letter asking for people to become engaged.
Right. Yes.
And in the past, we had annually been put on the cabin walls and stuff like that.
Cindy, whoever's talking can't be heard. And my question in the chat, I'm for it, but what does beautification mean? What was done?
Artwork, taking out old chairs, putting in new chairs.
Painting,
touch-ups, that kind of stuff.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Sally.
Okay. We have just announced that we are revitalizing the cabin adoption program. Be aware. If you want to get involved at this point, we'll figure out what to do. And make them pretty. Let's make them someplace you want to come.
I'd be happy to continue.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
Bart's toes are curling.
I have to write words well.
Bart's crying. Okay, so we had one more. We had a member-requested discussion item, and that is the fact that there are independent contractors currently serving on the board. Tina, would you like to come up and talk about that? You want to sit there, and I'll turn it towards you there.
All right, so here on the ranch, we have rumors, and rumors spread, and I wanted clarification, first off, of the rumor that Jennifer's leaving, and her position is getting split. I think we've already covered that. But that several members on the board are taking those positions.
We have one member. Sorry. For clarification, there is one member that has been contracted with pay to do the cabin reservations and to do some of the admin, and that is myself. I was not involved in that vote, in making a motion or anything, as you know, because I was outside the room when they were doing it. I'm the only one I hate to say benefit financially because I've seen the underbelly. I will be getting paid to do cabin reservations instead of Jennifer being paid to do cabin reservations. I was appointed by the board. There are no other members that are going to be getting any pay for doing anything that splits up her job. Danielle Clarkson was appointed by the board to do the bookkeeping. And so that's about 3/4 of Jennifer's job has now been distributed to other members.
Okay.
By the board.
So, being jobs contracts, they should, and several people agree with me, they should be open bid. If there's a job opportunity,
it should be announced to the ranch, open to at least members first who are interested in the job.
And qualified.
Qualified for the job. The board needs to accept at least 3 applications for every job opening. I'm taking my position. I was getting there.
Why not?
To be on the board.
We all are financially compensated to be on the board because our dues are covered. Right. There are 3 of us currently on the board that receives money as independent contractors from the ranch. There are 3 of us. Take all that into consideration. Just be aware. Okay.
What I'm saying is if there's a job opportunity, they need to be opened up, accepted applications, actual interviews be held, talk to those applicants, and then made a decision.
Okay, my understanding is the bylaws call for the board to appoint people to these positions, contractors to the positions. That's my understanding. If I'm wrong, please, somebody feel free to correct me on that. But my understanding is that the board is to appoint contractors.
That board member, right? Were they advertised? Were these positions advertised?
No.
So no. When I say advertised, I guess did we put a request out for people to interested parties?
Yeah.
That Jennifer was going to leave. Tina said, well, I might be interested in doing the reservations part of Jennifer's job. I'm not interested in doing the bookkeeping stuff, but if they would split it up, she discussed that with you, I believe.
If I recall correctly, this has been in the minutes for several months running, that Jennifer was leaving and needed to be replaced. Really? Okay.
No.
I thought Jennifer stood right over there and no. said that. No? No. No. Okay. Then I'm missing.
Well, let me give some minutes. What this is based on. Okay. The transfer from Mariah to Jennifer. Jennifer was told it was a 10 to 15 hour a week job. The entire package. Okay. Jennifer found out, oh no, I mean, she has a full-time job. She has a family, kids and sports. She agreed to do this based on 10 to 15 hours a week. And she's very efficient and she could probably beat that time. Except the reality is it's 40 plus hours a week sometimes and 35 hours minimum. And so my question to the board is, why doesn't the board know what it takes to run the ranch? That's my question. And I asked the board that, and we had a very long discussion about that. And we can't offer a member a job that we don't know what it's required. We have to know, we have to identify these positions. We have to make these positions known what it takes, what's fair value of compensation for them. And so the way we've divided things up, she's been volunteering on cabins for 3 years. She hasn't been to her lot one time this year. And she knows the system. She knows the reservations. We have the monthly meeting for 3 years now. And she knows what's going on. So she is the best person to pick to get this job identified, streamlined, worked out. We got a lot of things.
And I'm not arguing that.
Right.
I'm doing great on the cabins. You might be the perfect person for the job. I'm just saying the way we went about it, or the way the board went about giving you the job, was incorrect.
Ours, the way it was handled previously. And I think that if we put a job out there for bid for interested qualified people, and the board needs to know the value of that job and what it takes to do it to teach that person. It wouldn't work to just throw you into reservations. Have you done reservations before? That's my question.
So this is Karen Fry with Lot 13.
Karen.
So how do you know that they are the best person if you don't open it up to other people? Again, I don't think that it should be a board member's decision or the board member's decision to decide who is best for that position until it's been posted. Then you go through the process to find out who is the best person for that job. Because I don't think that all the board members know what everybody else can do until it's opened up for other opportunities for other people. That's
from an employment position to an independent contractor position doesn't remove, similarly to contractor, doesn't remove the ranch.
You need to come up.
When the Department of
there's a whole implications that can occur that nobody has a clue. What would happen?
Parties, reservation services, accounting services, even general maintenance. These are things that you contract out all of the time, and they're not employee mandatory for employee requirement. So that's not.
I agree with you, Jeff. That's a gray line that could go either way. But let me make a statement. In this attempt, when you're talking about this person is the best qualified for the job, that's not what we're saying. We don't even know what the job is. So this is the best person to identify a job. It's a square peg or a round peg or a triangle peg. That's what we're trying to identify. We haven't offered, hey, we have a slot open and it's a triangle. All triangles apply, or round people apply, or squares apply if you want to fit in there, whatever. So when we say Cindy was the best for the job, that's the improper use of words. She's the best person at this point in time to step in to create the job
and identify
the job and say, this job takes X number of hours, requires this skill set, and now any of you guys that want to fill that square peg, round hole, whatever it is, please apply.
And shouldn't Jennifer be part of the process, which I just said in the chat? Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry, we can't see the chat, so if you're putting something in the chat, somebody's going to...
That's too bad. Part of the process.
Yes. To answer your question, the whole reason my name got put in is because Jennifer recommended me. So she was part of the process.
Good. Yeah. Well, I mean,
informing
the description and everything since she's been doing the job.
already have that.
Her problem is she has a 40-hour week job, and she is pretty much done. She's trying to get this stuff off of her plate as fast as she possibly can. She has told me that she will, you know, continue to consult with me on the job as far as, you know, what else needs to be covered, how to do that. So that is Jennifer's involvement. And at this point, I want to recuse myself from any further discussion or voting or anything else on this topic.
Thank you.
Question on this. What's the? Do you have a time limit or a period for this contract, for your current contract? Is it annual or is it – I mean, because if you're going to be coming up with a job description at some point showing the duties and requirements of it, it seems that there should be some sort of –
Time period
associated with it, so you can do that.
Well,
yeah, so 1 year. Yeah, so for 1 year.
Oh. And I think Kate's been waiting a while.
Well, it just came up too bad.
Okay.
So the only comment I would like to say is back to the that I made earlier, you've got three levels here. You've got the board, you've got the officers, and you've got the employees, contractors, whatever that way. Right now, it seems like we're combining all three or multiple responsibilities in all three, and I see that setting up the board for additional liability, consolidating duties. I recognize the expediency and trying to get things done related to that, but sometimes we need to step back from expediency and getting things done and provide some of those checks and balances, because if you don't have those checks and balances and that separation of responsibilities and duties, then board members are going to get lost and not know what's going on and not making the correct decisions, and things are going to be passed down. And it sounds like there's a disconnect on what are all those responsibilities need to be. I totally agree with Larry saying we need to define the position well. That should be something the board needs to be aware of. But that's not an employed position to define the position, if that makes sense. So I think you guys just need to very carefully consider what are the board responsibilities, what are the officer responsibilities, and those two right now are very combined, and then what are the employees' responsibilities, and try and make those, set up those correct checks and balances to where, hey, the employee takes the stuff to the officer or whatever who's in charge. The officer then brings it to the board votes on the things that they need to vote on. Officers are empowered to do their job, and then the employees have clear instructions on what they need to do. So that's the only comment I make. It seems like that's getting...
Well, we're actually trying to move in that direction, but so right now what we have is a lump.
I guess in an ideal world, and really doing the work, not just showing up at the meeting and doing the work, you would have board members, officers separated right now, right? The reality is, you know, the person who's knows the roads, or the director of roads, you know, programming maintenance, facilities maintenance here, because really that's what it is a full-time job, right? Prioritizing all the work, you know, assessing damage to roads, assessing damage to our infrastructure, assessing fences. All these things are full-time jobs that most people don't. They kind of want to dabble. They want to, you know, dip their toe in, but not really do the work. So I mean, the only way that I could see getting around that would be is if you paid the officers.
No, you've employed somebody in charge of going after all the roads and stuff that way. You should have somebody he's reporting back to the board. If you've employed somebody to do that job.
But employers, it's kind of like the issue we have right now with you.
This is ridiculous. Right?
Oh, no, it is ridiculous, but it's ridiculous when you talk about it. Oh, sorry. It's crazy that we talk about it, but we think about water, right? You look at our certified water operator contract, right? It's a good contract. It gets Jeff doing what he needs to do. But the scope is, you know, there's a lot of things missing in there, and there's a lot of things that pop up that you need to have somebody who understands systems, understands, and then can direct that contracted certified water operator to do specific work. And instead of having, you know, I was on the sidelines last year kind of hearing it,
And everyone's like, oh, he wants to do this. It's crazy. He wants to do that. It's not crazy. The reality is we just had a sanitary survey last week, and we did well on it. And that's to his work. That's to Jeff's credit, right? But he needs direction and guidance. And there's a lot of gaps and issues there. You know, you need to, you know, so, you know, typically a large system like this, you have I'm not saying typically. My background is military, and I work over at Best Friends. You know, we've got 5,900 acres. They're not nearly as big here. We do have our own water system. We do have our own networks. We do have our own wastewater management plan with the state. All these things take a lot of work and a lot of effort. And the board members are up here making decisions. They're the ones who kind of threw their hat in to do all the work. Where is it everyone else throwing in their hat to spend 30 hours a week, you know, doing our facilities?
I think it's the biggest concern. I wasn't put out to the membership to ask.
Right.
And historically, it never has been. Sorry, I'm not.
If we do that, and I'm not against doing that, you know, you would have, then you could have maybe got members to be liaisons to that or kind of to work hand in hand with that director, but, or not. But then you kind of then have the board members up here just hanging out, doing nothing, voting and or voting on issues they're not aware of.
We're trying to create more layers. Go ahead, Jeff.
Let me address part of this problem. It has been a historic process that when we have an administrative assistant who typically takes care of the reservation process, is the go-to person. If you got a question about a cabin, it's going to be available, stuff like that. Do you remember Linda Alderman? Many of you do. She did that for years. She decided one day she was going to quit. And she comes into the board meeting and she says, I'm quitting. Here's my daughter. There was no application process. There was no posting. There was nothing except for, here's my replacement. That was wrong. I fought it. I was on the board. I said, that should not happen. Yep. Now we have Jennifer, who was recruited by many people, recommended, not appointed, recommended. She is now saying, I'm done. This position should be opened up, advertised. The board should interview the applicants. A person should be selected, the offer extended, just like a normal business would do it. And then that person should be hired.
So what is that position?
Okay, that's where the problem is. Board members don't understand what Jennifer was doing, what Mariah was doing, what Linda was doing, because many of the things they did were done, and nobody had a clue of the effort that they were doing. Not 40 hours a week, but 60 to 80 hours a week in the middle of the season, because they're doing it hard. So what the board is saying, we're going to figure out what is really entailed. Once we know what's entailed, we'll then create the position. We'll open it up for somebody.
My goal bringing that to the board is the rumor was you got the cabin reservations job, Michael got the bookkeeping job. This is just all rumor. And
you go around.
They abilities that Jennifer currently has on her plate should never be on her plate. Their board duties, their board secretary duties, their board treasurer duties, they are other board member pay attention to the ranch duties. She got that dumped on her because Mariah had it dumped on her. And she took on responsibilities that whoever, maybe it was me as the secretary, said, I'm lazy and I don't want to keep notes. So will you do that for me, Mariah? Thank you, sweetheart. Okay. So they continued to take on more and more and more and more. The board went to sleep more and more and more, and we don't have a clue. What does this position really mean? He has, in fact, as the ranch board officer treasurer, he's going to have some more treasurer responsibilities that Mariah and Jennifer have done in the past. Incorrectly, overstepping their hired employee role that the treasurer now is going to do, whether he wants to or not. He's doing it. Okay? Bart's going to have some administration stuff just because he's got that kind of brain, and I don't, and I know he don't.
And I'm not going to
No one on the board should be paid by the ranch.
Right. That's correct.
I agree. Because nobody else
He's an independent
around
contractor.
The world will the ranch. Yes.
And correct. Right, who's that?
Get in here, dear.
Correct. So, correct. And when he got the job, we voiced our concern.
Let's go back to the truth. All the story, not the truth, all the story. You ran for the position also, but when you found out,
okay, I'm gonna call a point of order. We've strayed from the discussion. It sounds to me, and please, I'm trying to get it back to the discussion for you. And I've recused myself, so I'm not making any decisions. I'm just bringing it back to the point of it sounds to me like some of the membership would like to change the bylaws, or pretty sure it's the bylaws, about the board being able to appoint a paid position. It sounds like that's what you're saying, that you no longer want the board to have the ability and the authority to hire contractors.
Yeah. Not Mario at all. To advertise us.
That's what I said. Needs to be posted.
Advertise. Get that candidate submitted. And if you happen to be the only candidate, then hire someone.
I have to commend
we can't hear you, Cindy.
And it paid employee contractor.
I'm not a lawyer, but I've had to deal with this. There is no conflict of interest if you express your perceived conflict of interest. Just so we're clear, just you don't want to like it.
Correct.
Okay.
But
okay,
if,
we got
if majority of membership
does not
bring in attorneys.
Then you need to acknowledge
and step off the board. That is correct. There's three options. You can either do the job and not get paid.
Hold on.
Or just take yourself off the board. Or don't take the
board. Go for it, Kevin.
Speaking from the voice of experience. If I saw the board I served on, none of the board members were allowed to be employees of the institutions for which they served on the board. Is Joshua House, one of the original founding board members, a man named Robert, became the managing director of the house. When he was voted to become the managing director of the house, he was also no longer on the board. He stepped down from the board.
Right.
The reason, Robert gets a salary. Robert doesn't get to vote on his salary. The board is responsible for Robert's salary, but Robert doesn't get a say-so. That's called Congress in the Senate, which I don't think anybody wants to create. You know, so what really gets down to here is that, is it in the bylaws for the ranch to be able to appoint board members as salaried employees versus private contractors? Ours is broke, and we hired Larry. What's your company's name? Larry Clarkson.
as an individual can work a business under his assumed name as Larry Clarkson. It is a legal entity as a business. We can hire Larry Clarkson to grade this road. But we, as a board, is it in our bylaws to put Larry on a weekly, monthly salary to make sure that the roads are graded? I mean, there is a fine line that needs to be fleshed out here, and I don't know what these bylaws are. I know what the bylaws of the former boards that I served on were. They were crystal clear. No board members would be employees because of the conflict of interest that that directly and clearly creates. Thank you once again.
When you got
Kurt's a contractor, not an employee.
Kurt's a contractor.
Are you is this position a contractor?
Yes.
So it's a contractor. So, no. That's no. Hold on. Are we withholding taxes?
Withholding.
So 1099. So it's a contract. Contract employee.
And both
contract employee. Contract.
Therefore, should be bid. That should be bid on.
If you don't like the answer, we're beating a dead horse.
Has cleverly. Both of those positions were employee positions. Kurt taking over. It was an employee. Cleverly then turn it into a contract. Because the national conflict, right? Now it's the same way here.
Bart?
I've done it in the past.
Bart?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
We can barely hear, and I would like to state
that. I'm not speaking right now.
That's what I'm asking, is if you just put me in line, because I can't hear you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You can go.
All right. When I was on the board and we brought Kurt on, that was one of the discussions that was brought up, that there was a conflict of interest. I'd been approached by several members. I talked to Kurt about it. He said if there ends up being a problem that he would step down from one of those positions. It was a problem, brought it up, and he kind of got upset. We did not want him to step down, but had to step down from one of it. He's got three positions where he is, you know, it's whether it's a backdoor or whatever you want to call it, that is property management, the ranch manager, and on the board. So he's kind of involved. Now that you guys have a new board, you're reconstructing this whole board system, and I'm seeing two or three people totally in charge of the ranch, and I don't see that as the best interest of the members. I believe that we need to reevaluate this, and I mean, you know, we can fix the board, but I don't think we were all that broken to have so much confusion going on right now. You've tried to take on so much, and you're trying to reconstruct everything, and I can see this being a real problem. And I believe that we do have some conflict of interest. I mentioned that when I was a board member last year, and it just kind of got shot down. But I feel like it needs to be addressed. It's obviously a problem.
We need to make sure that is updated. Another issue that we don't have in there is cross-connection control. Jeff is cross-connection control certified, so that is something I would like to add to that water operator contractor to make sure to maintain those qualifications. And again, all these things are to make sure that our system is in line with state code.
When we talked earlier about this inspection, if we do not come up to the level the state requires, they will require us to put in a disinfection system, which means that the water will have to be tested every week.
Right. We don't want to do that.
We only test it once a month now.
And we also have chlorine. You'll
right.
have chlorinated
I don't
water.
Want in my water.
Which you don't, if you don't want chlorinated water down here in the cabin, that's what we're trying to avoid. And if you manage the system properly, you can easily avoid that. But we just need to manage it properly. And we may have to have investment into it. And so it's just something I want to raise, make sure people are aware of it so it doesn't surprise them at the next board meeting when we talk about it.
Nothing.
I hope by next meeting I can ascertain the, you know, get
how much access. Money do you have?
Is there anything left?
well, it's his turn, and I think this will resolve all of this issue and problem. We did, for everybody's information, we upgraded to Starlink. That's what that fancy box is sitting right there.
I said that before you got here.
Oh, okay, good. Well, won't our communication be 100% different once that's
operational? Oh, yeah. We'll get a microphone.
One of us is going to pitch in and buy a
The latency difference between Starlink and HughesNet.
Can't we also
huge.
Get the 360-degree mic setup?
Right.
Okay.
We're going to get one of those.
So the latency on Starlink is the speed it connects to the satellite. It's about 400 milliseconds, I believe, for HughesNet. It's in the 50s with Starlink, so there won't be that delay when somebody's speaking here and somebody's talking in. The delay should go away.
Okay, Scott? I'm sorry, was that it, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm rambling.
Okay. People mention newsletter. I'd like to know how often they would like to receive one. And in paper form, I mean, computer form, and I would like to.
Is that on the agenda for our next meeting?
Okay.
That's, I mean,
but
it's no
members. I just members. What do you guys think? Well,
I'm on that.
I got a mailbox on my
right before I was on from the board.
No, really, honestly, though.
Quarterly.
Yeah, quarterly at least. You think monthly?
I think monthly would be good.
That's a lot of money.
You got to mail it.
But there should be some email probably. You know, after board meetings, there should be some email summarizing what occurred at the board meeting to members.
Yes.
It's supposed to be on the website.
That's part of
people aren't going to go and read the whole meeting.
But you can include a link to that post in the if you send an email out. Because when I get emails, I click on that.
Really is an item that's not on the agenda.
Right.
It can be on the next agenda.
Touching on the website thing, last year, I think, B doing the website was hired to Mariah.
We're looking into that right now.
That's on my agenda to figure out the status of that, find what code has been done.
See if I can
bring the code in and fix whatever's missing. So that's what I do for a living. If I do website development, accounting software.
Cindy.
All right. So stop. And you finish?
That's it.
All right.
Cindy.
You want to say something before we adjourn? On most HOAs,
Cindy.
At the end of all meetings.
Just a minute, Van. I can hear him talking.
Go ahead, Van.
Yes. We just got dialed back in a few minutes ago, and I caught the tail end of the discussion of Starlink. I need to know what you guys are thinking about doing.
We have
not
purchased.
Thinking about doing. We have done.
We have done it. We have purchased.
Well,
Starlink.
Well, okay. Not a good answer. Tell me what you did. Are you replacing the Ranch House HughesNet with Starlink?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I needed to know. Thank you, because I'll see a whole bunch of different APs running around.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Candy.
Okay. At the end of all the discussions of the meeting, because it is an HOA, number 7 should be not adjournment, but open discussion for membership. Members are allowed to discuss if they didn't quite get it in, because I had a couple things, but it has to be something that was discussed at the meeting. They can't bring up all these other items. It is discussion on the meeting itself, or if you didn't have an opportunity to speak. So that should be on all of our agendas, number whatever it is, next to adjournment. And it's usually identified as a 3 to 5 minute, no more. What we just discussed with pay and this and that should not be allowed, because then your meeting gets out of control.
Okay, Candy, I want people to feel they can discuss prior to a vote, and that's why we kept opening it up for discussion, was we were trying to have votes happen. So that was that was possibly, you know, on me. I need to go to school and learn better, Robert. But I don't want to be cutting people off saying, point of order, point of order.
No.
I want, you know, this, we bit off an awful lot, and we're trying to chew it because it needs to be done. We need to have things move forward. We've allowed ourselves or the membership or the lack of interest or the lack of effort to prevent this ranch from moving forward. And this board is pretty committed to moving the things forward that need to be moved forward. If the membership wants to give us a hard time, stand in our way, that's okay. We'll deal with that. We will overcome obstacles.
In the year of elections.
And right. And next year, you guys might say, get the heck out. We're tired of it.
That's not what I'm saying. But as Bort had said, let's bring it back into the discussion. That's all I'm saying. So allotting a certain amount of time is fine. But that's not what I wanted to say.
Okay.
I was pretty much in charge of all the monies for the auction. And this is another thing that I think we've missed in the newsletter of communication. I, myself, and Deer Springs Ranch would like to thank everybody who donated so many wonderful things to the auction.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think everybody understands how much money we made. $3,895, ladies and gentlemen. Now, that's money. That's not this year all going to food. It's going to be using some of that money to be able to buy what the ranch needs in order to be self-sufficient. So I wanted to say thank you.
Stuff. I don't know what that is.
Thank you for everybody who donated, and thank you for everybody who participated in buying it so that we were able to make $3,895.
Just under 4,000.
Yes, great. Just right under. And all those
just
people.
Just so you can say 4,000.
Yeah.
But the key here is, when Mariah and Jennifer took over, because I was kind of like in charge of it, I sent a note out to everybody who ran on the board, who made it, who didn't make it, and I did a thank you to everyone. I don't know that I know it wasn't done. That is so important. And for all those people that have done these wonderful things, that's what gets people wanting to come back again and do it. So that's number one. Number two, I'm looking at 5 minutes. According to HOA, your agenda should be out 10 days before your meeting, not 2 days. And if you're going to send it through an email, my husband was on the board last year. You know, he didn't even get it. He didn't even get this meeting information.
I got it yesterday.
And how come the agenda is different than the one that was emailed?
And it should not be changed. 10 days. Before the meeting is to occur, you are to have the agenda out to the membership.
Okay.
Post it. And with saying that, I think it's really good, again, to understand what was brought up earlier. If you have an agenda item that you think qualifies to be on here, you as a member should have the 2 weeks before the agenda is due. And then if it's put on, fine. You missed it by a day. You don't have the information right, then don't assume it's going to be on there. So those things that you discussed today were awesome, because that's what needs to be done for the input. But the agenda has to be something that is specific, what you're going to cover.
We're aware. We have deficiencies.
But I'm just saying,
we're aware, and we are going to change that. But right now we have an admin that's just
Has she already left? Basically, because you're doing well. I don't like that as a member. She's getting paid.
Well,
I'm saying you're taking reservations right now.
We're trying to change it as quickly as we can.
When does Danielle take over?
I was informed 2 days ago, because I've kind of stayed out of that. I said
Jennifer's out of town for a few days
because I'm family. I can't vote, and because I don't like setting people up for failure, I'm opposed to her being involved at Deer Springs Ranch.
So Jennifer has a work trip that she's out of town. She's out of touch. She's not doing anything.
I was just asking for my own self.
I know that she's going to train Danielle as quickly as she can.
But in that turnover period, are we paying both of them, or is she?
I am not getting paid at this point. I am not getting paid because she is still doing some of that work. So I have not asked.
She needs to be terminated, or there needs to be a termination, and then
The goal date was December 31st, but we're trying to make it.
Moving that out because we don't think she's going to last that long. Yeah,
but you shouldn't have to think or wonder. This should be something, as a board, you need to go forward with your work. And you're doing an awesome job so far.
Thank you.
I'm just saying.
We can't force Jennifer to do anything.
Well, then it's time to terminate. Then she needs to be terminated.
You got it. So, she's got a trainer. We're in
so
trouble.
I'm scheduled with Danielle to be with Danielle on all that training. So mm-hmm. there is a board member that knows that job and mm-hmm. everything that's going to be part of it.
And the interesting thing is, you said you didn't really know what was going on or where the papers were. I find it interesting that when the new boards take over and the old people have said, I'm done, I don't know that there has been any contact with the old people.
I have considered asking Joe to guide me. I just haven't got there yet because I have no logins. I have nothing to be able
to look at. COVID, yes. So that's why.
Well, anyway, I've been
sidelined.
Make sure you understand that there are people that are willing to help, but you just got to ask. I know you're taking secretary's thing on. Like, oh, my goodness.
He was railroaded.
I can imagine.
I'm just saying
the slow one.
Anybody else that's left here, if they have any questions about what was being done, what they like the way the things went, or like the new ways in which the directions are being taken by the board, that's why it's just a little input, which is a good thing.
Okay.
To complete things. That's all I want to say.
Thank you,
real quick.
Experience.
Remember, I told Kurt, if you have more than two board members that meet, it is considered a meeting.
Without a quorum.
It is considered, if you have two, any more than two is three, that's considered a meeting, and you'd have to post it.
You have to notify the
membership. Reach HOA. That's in there. And if you want to meet as a big group, all five of you, four of you, seven of you, like we always did doing the budget, that can be considered a workshop. It's not necessarily another meeting. Okay. And that workshop has to be notified to the membership if they want to come. But you can have workshops all you want.
What's
that's
the notification
not a
time period on the workshop? I mean,
it's not as much.
Yeah, and if you're not actually, what if you're just like Larry or Kurt and I are neighbors, our parsley up here,
mm-hmm.
right? And say,
Larry, I come up to visit.
And say, is that suddenly, but if you're not talking work, you're just, it's not.
Well, that's always been my bone of contention, but I just want you guys to know, yeah, if you start kind of talking, but then when does it come into the meeting?
The problem we have to watch out for is all of this. Board is elected to run the business of the ranch, but immediately the membership doesn't want to listen to what the board does. Well, that.
Yeah, this is your meeting
time. But
then
you start coming up with all these, you got to cross the T's and dot the I's and carry the two and pi r squared, and that's when everybody goes, hey, you know what? Because now we have an issue an issue to that point is we have a water system problem we need to fix. We got Kurt out there, who's the mm-hmm. ranch manager in his capacity as, you know, Jacobson
Management
LLC. And then we need to get someone out there to do some road work. So Larry's out there doing road work. And then, you know, because it's a water system, I'm out there. So now what is that?
I'm just asking. That's not
okay.
Where you're sitting down and saying, well, I don't like this budget.
I just want to make sure that that.
That has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And you understand that an executive meeting that you have, there are four areas that you can actually discuss in an executive meeting. You cannot vote on anything in an executive meeting. That is not the time and the place.
Right.
It is the membership.
Well, there's limited things we can vote on. Very limited things we can vote on.
Well, you can employment and people who are defaulting on assessment dues or whatever, but you've got to be careful because things were happening in the executive meeting that I knew nothing about out here because I didn't go to them. And I went, whoa, when was that decided? I didn't hear that.
Well, I think that's what we put forward with this first meeting.
I know, and I appreciate
putting
that.
All that out there.
And the very last thing is When things are happening on the ranch, it's a pretty good idea. Again, specific times to get newsletters out. There's the big October 24th roundup, cowboy roundup up here with the dinner and the, I don't know, dancing and music.
That was put together 2 days ago. They called me and asked me if I would cook something. I said yes. And then it was on the Facebook the next week.
I thought we'd be on the big people and everything else. But I thought it'd be nice to make those things known to everybody if they don't have internet or something.
Your input is extremely valuable.
I'm done.
And we need to be looking at utilizing the newsletter more effectively.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, we don't
adjourn. Yeah. We did discover that what we did was actually workshop and nobody taken the grant.
I want to spend. I'm just saying to everybody.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure you know what time the
okay.
Ends.
So adjournment.
Oh,
what
no. Brent wants to talk.
Oh, open discussion, Brent.
You guys wasted thankfully 3 hours of my time, and you haven't talked about one thing important.
And you love us.
And so
pretty standard Brent statement.
About important stuff that you have all missed.
Okay.
All right. We've been having a problem with backup around the J station. So we're going to reroute the route into the J station.
Who's we?
Hold on.
You guys just decided you're changing
We're turning the J station. So it's not
okay.
In the
hold on, talk you need to talk to the property manager about that.
And the water system guy.
So you can't just make those decisions because you think it's an issue. You need to bring it to the property manager. That's his job to do and we can coordinate it. It's not a big deal, but don't just arbitrarily do it because then everyone else who comes to the Jay's patients will be pissed off. It's not the way they expected it to be.
No, because we're going to reroute roads because there's been a traffic issue. When we come in, there's cars parked there. There's too many cars, and they're going opposite directions and turn around in the intersection.
So you recommend that we reroute it. You recommend that it's rerouted. It's not you're going to reroute it. You recommend that we reroute it.
Well, who's going to do the work other than the people that want to do it?
Well, that's fine, but recommend it, and then we say yes, and then you can go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's it. That's it. But it's not we're going to do this arbitrarily because the two of you – Don't make the decisions for the whole ranch.
Is it
all right.
You though?
Kurt, nothing else I have to bring up
no.
is important. No, it is important.
No,
but
I'm leaving.
That's an arbitrary. You guys just said you're going to do something.
Now, you don't need me here.